Good afternoon, folks. It's that time of the day again. Time for the elephant in the room here on WJAS 1320 AM and 99.1 FM Talk. This is your host, Sam DeMarco, and I am tired, folks. Tired, but I'm pleased. The election is only 3 days away. 3 days from now. You know, you're going to go to the polls. We're going to vote. We're going to elect the next president of the United States, United States Senator here, the Commonwealth of Pennsylvania, and all the offices, all the way down ballot from our row offices, you know, through our state Senate and our state House. But I feel for you. I'm joined in studio today, as usual, by my trusty executive director, John Schneider, man of a few words, our producer, dazzling Daryl Grandy, and we have a special guest that's in studio today. I'm going to introduce him in just a second. But folks, I do feel you. It seems like I can't turn on the radio or turn on the television and not see commercials. And I was telling my friends, if I were on the beach and stumbled across a magic lamp and the genie jumped out and said, you can have one of three wishes. And he offered me world peace, ending world hunger, or truth in political ads. I would have to take the third, okay? And because I've never seen anything like what we're seeing out there today. Usually, you know, ads, there's at least some kernel of truth in them that there's spun. They try to make a mountain out of a molehill, but there's normally something there to begin with. Here, in this campaign season, I am seeing ads, and mostly from Democrats, okay, that are complete and utter falsehoods that have no basis in reality. So, you know, it's crazy. I want to see it over. I won't know you want to see it over, but we got to go and vote first. And I'm pleased to introduce a gentleman today who's here with us in studio, who's done a phenomenal job the last 4 years as our Auditor General here in the Commonwealth of Pennsylvania. And I hope that we're smart enough to reelect him for another 4 years. And that would be Pennsylvania's 50th Auditor General, Tim DeFore. Tim, welcome to the show.
Sam, it is a pleasure being back on the show and especially being here in studio. And you talk about you're exhausted. I'm a little exhausted as well. But, you know, the election's on Tuesday and I still have a little juice left in the tank. So I'm going to continue to do what I need to do to get my message out there. And that message is real simple. Do the job the way the job was intended to be done.
Well, Tim, listen, you are a stout and solid figure here. I mean, your background going back to working in the Inspector General's office, working in the Attorney General's office, and I mean, you're a model of health. You know, I'm watching you. I need to go back to the gym. Okay, but I'll tell you, as we were joking on the way up, you were talking about, you know, all the travels you had. Yes, running for office, statewide office in the Commonwealth of Pennsylvania, is not the same as like Delaware. No, or Rhode Island. I mean, we're a big state.
Yeah, I remember I was in Erie for an event one evening, then another event in Erie the following morning, and I had to travel to just north of Scranton. And the GPS took me on Route 90, which is in southern New York. So in order to cross the northern part of the state, you have to go into New York. But you do what you have to do. I mean, as far as running for this office and the travels that I was going to have to make, I knew what I was getting into when I got into it. Mm. But, you know, I don't regret a single trip. But it's you get a little tired at the end. And like you said earlier, when you get tired and you're not feeling well, what do? You listen to your body and you rest.
Yep.
Then you get back out there.
Well, Tim, listen, I know a lot of what you've done, and that's why I said you've done a phenomenal job for the people of the Commonwealth of Pennsylvania. But please tell our listeners, what are some of the things that you've done in the Auditor General's office that you're most proud of?
Oh my God. So it's a long list. I mean, there's what we did with the employees, as far as we created the first ever workforce development bureau for workforce development team within HR. And that is to provide proper training and education for all of our employees. And for the newer auditors, we provided the career ladder. I mean, one of the things that's happened is that right after COVID, people were retiring. And we had the same problem that a lot of other state departments have. People were retiring. So we had to not only recruit, but provide career opportunities for new auditors. And one of those ways that we did that is our intern to hire program, which you may have heard of. And that is where if you are accepted into this program, and the program is available to anybody who has a degree in math, accounting, business, finance, or any math-related field in IT, if you're at a four-year college, and we recently extended that program to community colleges as well. We just finished our 15 community college tour here in the Commonwealth, where we extended opportunities to community college students, and that's something that had never been done before. So, and that's how we felt it was important for us to recruit, especially at a lot of our PASI schools. So there's the workforce development part, but then there's also doing the work itself. One of the things that we did very early on, we had Zoom calls with all the employees. And the first thing that we asked them is, what is it that you need in order to do your job? And we heard them. We brought in somebody from the outside to take a look at how we were doing our work, how we were treating our employees. And they provided a report with regards to some of the things that we needed to do. And we did that. You know, we took care of our employees by providing them with the proper equipment. But also we as far as how we audit, we changed it from an audit that where you kind of you're accusing somebody.
Mm-hmm.
We changed it from that to be more of a quality management piece. Okay. Here's what I mean by that. Quality management piece, you identify what the issue is. Then you come up with a common sense solution on how to fix the problem. Now, you know, any auditee is going to, you know, if there's any audit findings, you know, they're going to get upset and they may accuse you of other things. But, you know, one of the things that we felt that was important that we come up with that quality management approach. And there actually there have been a lot of auditees who have been really happy with what we've done. So then there's that. But also, I felt it was important for us to be involved with the community as well. I mean, one of the things that I never wanted to do when I got into elected office was to go to the office, you know, hang out, do my job at the Capitol and only do political things and government related things. I felt that there needed to be an outreach to government. And one of the ways that we were doing that is by promoting financial literacy through our Be Money Smart Financial Literacy Initiative. And that's always been a passion of mine for the past decade. So there's the quality management approach with regards to our audits. There is the workforce development with regards to the employees. And then there's the community outreach with regards to doing things out in the community. So those are some of the things that I've been most proud of and proud that we're doing the work the way that it was intended to be done. Look, we follow the Pennsylvania Fiscal Code. We're created by the Pennsylvania Constitution.
Mm-hmm.
And we have to follow the Pennsylvania Fiscal Code and also the generally accepted government auditing standards. Those are the standards that we have to follow when we do our audit reports. But it's the Pennsylvania Fiscal Code and the laws of the state that pretty much dictate how we do our job. We can't get around that. And you know, one of the things about the Pennsylvania Fiscal Code and the generally accepted government auditing standards, it doesn't say a Republican auditor general do one thing. Doesn't say a Democrat auditor general do another. Simply says that the auditor general shall do this. And that's one of the things that we made it quite clear, that we're going to follow the standards in which we're legally bound by. Because one of the things that happens, a lot of people don't really realize this, we get audited. We get audited by the governor's office.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, we get audited by the governor's office, but we also get audited by a group of auditors from across the country, from other state, either state auditor's office, state auditor general's office, or in some states, state comptroller's offices. So they audit us. So not only does the governor's office audit us, but also a group of external auditors audit us as well. And if we're not following those standards and laws that I mentioned, and especially when you have the governor auditing you, they're going to find, when they pull an audit report, they're going to find that, okay, you're being biased with regards to with regards to politics, and that's going to be an audit finding. And that's something that we absolutely did not want. So we are sticking to doing the job the way that's supposed to be done.
Well, that's one of the things I think that many folks are proud, many of the folks who supported you are, is you removed politics from the Office of Auditor General, okay? And really, it needs to be removed there. It needs to be about the facts. And absolutely. What's unique about you is, can you tell me, in the history of the Pennsylvania Auditor Generals, has there ever been an Auditor General before you that was actually an auditor?
Not that I'm aware of.
Okay.
I did not know that. My staff told me that.
Mm-hmm.
And when they told me that, I blew them off. I just blew them off. And they were making a big deal, but I blew them off. Until I actually, that weekend, I had some time, and I did the research myself. And not to disrespect some of the other auditor generals that came before me. You know, certainly, some of them were capable of doing the job. But being an actual auditor, you have a different mindset to doing the job. And the first thing you think about is internally. How are we doing things internally? And the reason being is because if we're out there auditing other departments, other agencies, other state departments, or anybody receiving Commonwealth funds, if we're out there auditing them, and if any audit findings, and we're making recommendations on how to improve and how they should improve, that really, those types of things really need to start with us. So then that's where in the mindset especially of an auditor, and I was an intern auditor with the International Organization of Standardization. So the mindset is fix things internally and then make sure that your message is clear when you send a message via an audit report.
Well, so that's fantastic. Now, Tim, here we are, it's Saturday before the big November election. What can folks do, folks who are listening to you today, and say, man, I didn't know that, or what a great guy, or I want to help him. How would they go about helping? What can they do at this point in time?
Well, number one, they can vote for me. and just look, I encourage anybody to just research what we've done in the office.
Mm-hmm.
One of the things that we recently did, we recently developed a new auditing webpage. Where it's easier to find audit reports. All you need to do is just click on our webpage at paauditor.gov and scroll down to whatever county you're in, click on that county, and then all the audit reports, starting with the most recent, to going back, I think maybe 10 years, I believe, maybe even longer than that, click on the audit report and look at some of the things that we've done. Also look at some of the things that we've done. We're on social media, for those who are on Facebook and X, we're on that. We're not on Instagram, but just take a look at some of the things that we've done. And also you take a look at some of the things that I've done as well. One of the things about my career, I've pretty much stuck with one thing, and that is making sure the taxpayer dollars are being spent the way they're supposed to be spent. And growing up wants to be an auditor. No kid goes to their parents and say, Mom or Dad, I want to be an auditor when I grow up. No.
But maybe the kids that ask for pencil protectors.
Yeah, maybe. And those four ink pens that you get. I actually have two of those.
Stay away from the red pens.
Stay away from the red pens. But I knew at a very early age what I wanted to do, and that was to be in law enforcement and to go after people who white-collar criminals, people who stole from the government. I was very fortunate to have parents who would talk to me and my five siblings about government, how government is supposed to work, and what government did for families. We were a middle-class family. What government did for families like ours. And that's something I never forgot. And to nobody's surprise that's listening, and certainly not to your surprise, because of that, my favorite class in high school was civics, because I just wanted to understand government from the very beginnings of government to actually where we are today. How does government work? How is government supposed to work? So, and that's my foundation. That's my foundation. And then it started, of course, when I was with the Office of the Inspector General and leading up to where we are today.
Well, listen, I've had the opportunity to get to know you back when you or came out to run back in 2019 when you first announced. So I've been following you closely. I know the great work you're doing. You know, I want to make sure that our listeners do as well. And, you know, you, I think you came out of nowhere and you shocked and surprised people back in 2020. And I think it should be no surprise. You know, I expect you to win here, you know, on Tuesday. And I think it would be a well-deserved win because, again, like I said, you're uniquely qualified for the office. You're an actual auditor. You know, you've made these changes by removing politics from the office, you know, workforce development, you know, the different things that you talked about there, right? So, I mean, it's and isn't that what we're supposed to do? We're supposed to reward the office holders who deliver for us.
Yeah, and I hope the voters do that. I mean, you know, I've been busy since I've been in office. I haven't just sat still. I've crisscrossed the state several times. But I hope to the voters will understand, number one, what the role of the auditor general is. And that's a message that we had to get out to a lot of different people. We had to get out to a lot of legislators, exactly what we can and what we can't do. I mean, it's not like we can't audit anything, or we can't audit or do anything that pops up in our head. We have rules and we have standards that we have to follow. Number one, the first one is that legally, can we do something? Because there's some things that clearly states the auditor general shall not do this, or somebody else shall do this. Number two, if it doesn't involve state funds, we can audit it. And that's in accordance with the Pennsylvania Fiscal Code. So you have to understand what your roles and what your responsibilities are. Now, there are times where there is something that's out there that doesn't give us the legal authority. And I say us, the Department of the Auditor General, doesn't give us the legal authority to do something. But that's when you have to sit down with your legislators and saying, hey, look, here's an issue that's out there. There's no law or there's nothing that states that we either should or shall audit this entity. So let's work together to write legislation. And then once that legislation becomes law, then that's something that we're going to do. And we recently did that with the Medicaid Pharmacy Benefit Manager audit that we recently released several months ago, where there was no law that stated that the Auditor General or anybody shall audit Medicaid Pharmacy Benefit Managers. But we worked with the legislature on that one, and we got it through. And because of that, we produced what we felt was a pretty good in detail and quality audit.
Okay. And that's great. And working with the legislature, that was bipartisan.
Yeah, exactly.
That wasn't just, you know, Republican or Democrat.
Exactly.
It was bipartisan. That's great. So, folks, you're hearing it here. You're hearing from our current Auditor General, Tim DeFore. You need to go and vote for him on Tuesday. And it's not enough for just you to vote. You know, this show has a wide listening range. We have a lot of listeners out there, but we need to take and get beyond that. So I need to ask you to contact five other folks. Take them to the polls with you as well. And get them to vote for not just Tim DeFore. Of course, Tim's in our studio today, but all the Republicans down the ballot from, you know, former President Trump, you know, Dave McCormick, who's an outstanding candidate.
Same with Lamar.
I mean, we are you're going to be at the Penn State.
Yep.
Yeah, we are blessed to have a candidate of that caliber. You're running here. He's running against someone, an 18-year incumbent, who doesn't have a single signature accomplishment that he can talk about, and that's why you've seen nothing but attack ads making complete lies about Dave's positions. You know, Dave has never said anything about touching Social Security or Medicare. In contrary, he's promised not to take and touch that or cut that. But yet Casey's out there running negative ads saying he is. On abortion, Dave has six daughters. You know, he said that he believes in the law. Yes, believes in the laws in Pennsylvania. And folks, the fact of the matter is, women's access to abortion, or what they want to call reproductive rights, is no different today than it was the day before the Dobbs decision was announced back in 2022. And Governor Shapiro is always saying he's not going to change it. So this is just fear-mongering and scaremongering from the Democrats out there trying to get people to vote on issues that aren't even an issue. They're not even up for debate, because they don't want to solve real problems and get real things done.
Yeah, so and to add on to that, so back when I first, when I was a lot younger and I just became a voter, the League of Women Voters used to put out a voter guide. And that's how you learn about whoever's running for office. Today, I mean, what do you think, it's a positive thing or a negative thing? We have the internet, cell phones. We have all this communication. And, you know, one of the things that I ask your listeners is just research. Do your research and not to just randomly pencil somebody in. Because if you randomly pencil somebody in, you may be randomly penciling somebody in who's the wrong person. So, you know, and I always say, you know, do your research and vote your interests. And especially, and you said it right, Sam, you're talking about the down ballot people. And I'm always talking about the row officers. Myself, Dave Sunday, who's running for Attorney General, Stacey Garrity, who's running for Treasurer. Don't forget about us down ballot individuals as well, because we're your row officers. And the way that I like to describe row officers, we are the state's subject matter experts in those areas. So it's important to vote for us and not to ignore that we're there.
Well, that's awesome. You know, and again, folks, we have a phenomenal slate. You have former President Donald Trump at the top of the ticket. And this is an election which is different than any other, I think, that we had in my lifetime.
It feels different.
Because you have two known quantities. You know, President Trump served under 4 years. We know what our family's economic circumstances were like. We knew that prices were low, real wages were up, inflation was almost non-existent, and we had peace throughout the world. Now, for the last 3.5 years, we know what living under a Biden Harris administration is like. You know, inflation is sky high. Prices are even higher. There's chaos around the globe. We have an open southern border. You know, over 10 million plus illegal folks have come in here. Crime is up in our cities. Not a single day goes by where we don't see on the news some heinous crime committed by someone that shouldn't be in this country in the first place. And so we have two known quantities, you know, and so when you go to the polls, vote for the one who you know is going to deliver the circumstances that are going to benefit your family the most. And for me, that's an easy choice. That's former President Donald Trump.
You're here.
And the turnout, you know, he is a he's unique in that he is like a turnout machine. People come out to vote for him that don't normally show up to vote.
So somebody asked me about turnout. The weather-wise, and a lot of it, in my opinion, deals with the weather, and it's going to be a gorgeous day on Tuesday. I think that the turnout, we thought it was high in 2020. It's going to be higher than what it was in 2020.
You think?
I think so.
Or at least in Pennsylvania.
I really do. At least right. In Pennsylvania. I can't say for other places. But I think the turnout is going to be extremely, extremely high. You know, one of the things that you're seeing now, especially, is that with the mail-in ballots and the record number of mail-in ballots that are being returned. So there's just a different feel to this election, just a different feel. And, you know, I think from the Republican end, it's going to be interesting. It's going to be good.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, listen, it's, you know, not just that race, but, you know, we talked about the row offices. I mean, your race, State Treasurer Stacey Garrity, is someone else who's done a phenomenal job managing the finances, and you know, of this Commonwealth.
And she's also my fiscal and financial partner.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, even though me and her don't work together every day, our staffs do. So we work very closely together. And if you look at the amount of money that she has returned to the rifle owners, if you look at the Purple Hearts
military decorations, yep,
that she's given back, Stacey Garrity has done a fine job.
Wow.
And I'm proud to call her my partner. And you know, for everybody out there listening, please keep her in her prayers. Her father isn't doing very well. He's been sick for a
Sorry
while.
Sorry to hear that.
Yeah.
Well, you know what? Look, this is one of the things that's also we talk about being unique. The Republican ticket this year for the three row offices is the most qualified, probably, ticket we've ever had. You have a district attorney in Dave Sunday, you know, who's the district attorney of York and has done some phenomenal work out there. You have yourself, who's an actual auditor. You have Stacey Garrity, who served, you know, not just a retired colonel from the Army National Guard, you know, served.
And Dave Sim was in the military too.
Yes, Navy veteran. So, you know, I want to talk more about this right after the break here, because I think it's important that our listeners, you know about that. Folks, one of the things, you know, veterans here, you see on the Republican ticket, people that have served this country, you know, they haven't forgotten their oath to serve. That oath to the Constitution has no expiration date. And many of these folks are looking to serve in public service. I think we need to reward them. We're going to talk more about that right after the break. This is Sam DeMarco, your host on The Elephant in the Room on WJAS 1320 AM and 99.1 FM Talk. Folks, welcome back to The Elephant in the Room here on WJAS 1320 AM and 99.1 FM Talk. I'm joined in studio today by current Pennsylvania Auditor General and candidate for Auditor General this year, Tim DeFore. And Tim, before the break, we were talking about some of the candidates that are running and how uniquely qualified folks are. And, you know, just if I were to say, okay, this election, many folks have talked about it and claimed it's the most important election of our lifetimes. And I really believe it is. I really believe that this country and potentially our Commonwealth are at an inflection point right now.
Yeah, and here's what I always say. Every election is important. And when I talk to people, even when there is a, when we don't have the election like this, and there may not be a lot of judicial ones, when there's just a lot of local elected officials, those are very important, very important.
Yes.
Because they impact your checkbook. They impact the amount of taxes you pay, and they impact everything that happens to you from the moment you wake up, turn on the light switch, the moment you walk outside the door. So to me, and again, I attribute this to my parents, to me, every election is important. But these, I have to admit, this election is extremely, extremely important. And I know that we talked about the row officers and why it's so important to not forget about us, is that we're your subject matter experts. Mm-hmm. I mean, think about it. Let's start with the Attorney General. What's the Attorney General's duties and responsibilities? Their duties and responsibilities are to defend the Pennsylvania Constitution, first and foremost. The Treasurer, they have the Commonwealth's checkbook. Mm-hmm. So you think they're gonna need to know something about banking, finance, and investing. So you need that person who understands that in that position. Then there's me, the Auditor General. My duties and responsibilities are to make sure that the government is being transparent with taxpayer dollars, making sure that what the taxpayer dollars go towards, they're actually going towards. And to make sure that government-sponsored programs are in fact working. That's my duty and that's my responsibility. So, and that's why I refer to the three row officers as the Commonwealth's subject matter experts, because you need to know about those positions and how to do the work before you get into office.
Right.
Because it's not necessarily a place to train. If you don't know how to do the work by the time when you get into office, all you are is just a figurehead.
Well, what's amazing is, you know, here we have the most qualified Republican ticket for row office that I can remember or recall.
I agree.
On the other side, your opponents, you know, Stacey Garrity's opponent is a woman that can't even fill out her campaign finance reports correctly. But yet she wants to manage the billions of dollars in the Commonwealth of Pennsylvania's budgets. You talked about removing politics from this. You know, Stacey's opponent wants to bring politics in and she wants to divest of any investments we have with anything affiliated with Israel, okay? Your opponent, here you are, you're an auditor, you've done this job, you worked in the Inspector General's office, you worked in the Attorney General's office, your opponent is a perennial candidate, is an empty suit, okay? You know, and we have Dave Sunday's opponent, you know, nice enough guy, but talk about politics. I mean, that's all it is. As you saw when you came into office, and you had that Zoom with your employees, and you talked about all the things you asked them, what do you guys have or what don't you have? It's getting in the way of you being able to do your jobs. You got to see the state in which Dave's opponent left that office in. Not a pretty sight.
Yeah, well, you know, I will say this. I mean, one of the things that, and again, I'm going to go back to what I said, subject matter experts. You can't, if you, in this position, if you are constantly thinking about running for the, get in, you think about running for the next office, you're going to miss something.
Right.
And I remember there's been situations where I've had on one side of me my chief legal counsel, another side of me, I had my deputy auditor general for audits with a concern and an issue. And they looked to me for leadership and to give them the best advice to resolve this issue. If you don't understand the work, how can you resolve that issue?
Right.
And so, and I'm going to take I'm going to go back and talk about leadership. How can you truly lead if you've never done the job? You can be a nice enough person. You can win, maybe even win an election. But how can you truly lead if you've never done the job?
Right.
I mean, my biggest issue when I became Auditor General, I mean, I like the work. My biggest issue was, you know, digging too deep into the work. And when audit reports come out, it has my signature, so I can't dig in deep to the audit reports. Mm-hmm. But I did that because that's what I have been doing for 30 years now.
Wow.
So it's important to understand the work. And that's why in a lot of states, and I'm going to stick with the Auditor General Department for a minute, a lot of states, the state auditor, as they're called, or auditor general, as they're called in other states, or state comptroller, as they are in some other states, they're appointed.
Right.
And I forgot the number of states where they're appointed, but they're appointed for that reason. And they're appointed in the same way as the federal government would appoint an FBI director. Because they, you know, those states realize that you have to understand the work in order to do the work, because they use the audit reports as not as a weapon. And you know, one of the things, Sam, that drives me nuts today is how weaponized audit reports are.
People try to weaponize everything.
Exactly. And where those states use the audit reports as a tool to help government. That's the purpose. The purpose is to help government improve by making, number one, looking at a program, making sure that the program is in fact working, that it meets all the criteria from A to Z, and that it is in fact working. And if it's not working, then what do? You put in the audit report that you've identified some issues, but here's some common sense solutions on how to fix it. That is the purpose of an audit report. And my biggest fear, and it's kind of funny you mentioned this, I thought about it this morning. My biggest fear, especially with our department, is that the work becomes so politicized that people forget the actual role of the department, and that they're just looking to use it for their own political advantage or discredit it. Mm-hmm. And they're forgetting about what is the purpose of the audit report and actually what are the specifics and the details of the audit report, as opposed to picking apart bits and pieces that play to what they believe is their best interest. Look at the whole thing. Take an objective view. What's supposed to happen? Take an objective view of the work in hand. Not be political about it. Just take an objective view.
Well, that's why you make a great Auditor General, Tim, you know, because you're able to separate that. Unfortunately, we live in the world we do live in which your people always take and they look at things political and they say, you know, how can it benefit me? But, you know, as we look to try to take and reelect you next Tuesday, we also have some other folks that we need to reelect. Now, folks, I don't need to tell you about President Donald Trump. I mean, you guys, we've all experienced him. We know that under Trump, we had lower prices, we had low inflation, we had order in the world, we didn't have chaos, there were no new wars starting. We had a secure southern border. You know, we know all the benefits that we had under President Trump. So you know what you're getting there. With Dave McCormick, you know, we're getting somebody that's been successful in everything they've ever tried in life, whether from high school, where he excelled in academics and football and wrestling, going to West Point, becoming the captain of his wrestling team. You're leaving and joining the Army, or he was in the Army because of West Point, but served in the 82nd Airborne with a Ranger. You know, served in combat, won a Bronze Star, comes back here, served in business, working for McKinsey & Company, and then led free markets, creating hundreds of jobs here in the Pittsburgh area. You know, to then going into government and serving at the highest levels in the Commerce Department and the Treasury Department in the Bush administration, and then going on to lead the world's largest hedge fund, Bridgewater Associates, before coming back to Pennsylvania back in 2021 because he wanted to serve, you know, the people of Pennsylvania. We are lucky to have someone of his caliber running. And like I said, he's running against an 18-year incumbent who hasn't accomplished anything. But it's not just those races. Let me talk briefly about some of our local races. Here for Congress, in the 17th Congressional District, we have Rob McCurry. Rob is another West Point graduate, served in the Army, served in Iraq with military intelligence, another Bronze Star winner, okay? He's a state representative in the 28th Legislative District. He's running against the Democrat incumbent, Chris DeLuzio. Chris is a whip in the Progressive Caucus. He identifies himself as a Bernie bro, okay? And he's running commercials telling complete lies about Rob and his record, whether it be on life, whether it be on Social Security and Medicare, whether it be on anything else. And Rob McCurry should be your choice in the 17th Congressional District here on Tuesday. In Pittsburgh, the 12th Congressional District, you have the Democrat, the racist, Summer Lee, for whom everything has to involve race in some sort of color. Somebody that has never accomplished anything. Somebody that's a blatant anti-Semite. You know, we have a candidate, James Hayes, running against Summer Lee. James had a tough going, but James deserves your support. He's incredibly well qualified, former director at Eaton. He served on the Federal Reserve Board. I mean, this is a guy that is incredibly bright, you know, understands something. We would be blessed to have him. He would be somebody that could deliver for the people of Pittsburgh and not, you know, Summer Lee. And then let's go to our state senate. We have Devlin Robinson. And Tim and I were just talking about veterans before. Devlin Robinson is the state senator in the 37th state senatorial district. That's the district that I live in. And Devlin is a three-time combat tour Marine. And it wasn't just while he served in Iraq or Afghanistan. This guy saw fighting. This is a guy that was in the original invasion, you know, of Iraq and Iraqi freedom. This is a guy that when Jessica Lynch, her unit was ambushed and she was kidnapped and held as a prisoner of war, it was Devlin's unit that was kicking down doors trying to find her. His unit lost 18 guys in one day, okay? Then Devlin served in Afghanistan, and then he came back and served in the Battle of Fallujah. This will go down in Marine Corps history, just like the shores of Tripoli and the halls of Montezuma, because it was one of the toughest urban battles in our nation's history, okay? This is a man who has been through thick and thin. This is a guy who's been serving us in a very bipartisan way, and now leading in labor and industry the last 4 years of the state Senate. He's running against his opponent, who's out there again making up complete lies and falsehoods on the television, running these ads, you know, claiming he was against abortion or he voted against it. That vote never took place. There was never a vote on that. And meanwhile, this is a person who we have affidavits, you know, was driving while drinking or had been drinking and took her car off the road across a lane of traffic up a hillside and took out a telephone pole over Labor Day weekend and then calls in political favors so she doesn't have to take a breathalyzer test or a field sobriety test, right? That's his opponent. In the 45th state senatorial district, we have a woman, a businesswoman who's the president of a company here called AmGuard, which is a security company, employing hundreds of employees there. She's running for state senate in an open seat, you know, that was vacated by the former state senator, Jim Brewster. You know, they're running commercials against her, talking about taxes that were charged to the company from back in like 2015 or something, or I'm sorry, before 2015, 1997, 1998. She was 15 years old. She wasn't running the company. But these are the things that they seize on. And let's go to our House races. We have incumbents like Natalie Mihalik in House District 40. Certainly deserves re-election, does a phenomenal job. Another veteran, Navy veteran, you know, served as assistant district attorney in the DA's office here in Allegheny County, and somebody who's dedicated to taking and protecting our children. Jason Ortiz, frequent guest on our show, in the 46th Legislative District, who just had a big win. Governor Shapiro signed, I think it was Senate Bill 802, but a big deal with a big bill with education. You know, you have Andrew Kuzma down in 39. We have Valerie Gatiss, who's my state rep out in 44, and Valerie's been targeted. You know, again, the Democrats, they brought some crazy woman in from California, right, that they have running against her, and they're taking and funding this without a state money, and again, telling complete lies, you know, about her. I mean, this is, so, you know, it's frustrating. Who am I forgetting here, guys? We have
Jeremy Schaefer.
Oh, my gosh, Jeremy Schaefer. I was just with Jeremy at lunch. And Jeremy's running for Rob's old seat for House District 28. You know, Jeremy's, I think he's going to do very well. But Jeremy Schaefer. We have Matt Kruth running. We have Joe Leckenby running. We have, oh, Gary Lotz. Gary Lotz is a businessman running up in House District 33. We have Nathan Wolf running in House District 30. You know, Nathan's a longtime business owner in that community.
James Julius.
Oh, my gosh, yes. James Julius is running in House District 45. So we have a lot of great candidates out there, folks. They deserve your support. They share your principles and values.
And John Ritter in the 25th.
Oh, John, thank you for reminding me here.
That's why he's around.
Yes, John, he's got to be there because, look, I got the gray hair on my head. I'm probably catching a little Joe Biden disease or something here, you know what I mean? But, yeah, you know, John Ritter in the 25th. So, folks, when you go to the polls on Election Day, please, please vote for Republican up and down the ballot.
See, and it goes back to something that I said a little while ago, mm-hmm. as far as down ballot. You can't stop with the president and
right.
the Senate. You have to fill up the thing completely. Completely, and not just stop with the top two.
Yeah, and please, our listeners, share that with your friends. You know, there are folks that are coming out to vote because they want to vote for former President Trump. You got to tell them, great, we appreciate that vote, but please, vote all the way down the ballot.
Yep, absolutely. And it's kind of funny that a lot of the individuals that you mentioned were ex-military, including yourself.
Right, yes.
Including yourself. Now, I'm going to go back to stay along that same military theme.
Mm-hmm.
So in April, I think it was, Dave McCormick did his bus tour. Erie, Washington County, Altoona, Harrisburg, Scranton, then Media outside of Philly. And I joined him for the entire tour. And it was me, him, Stacy Garrity, and David Sunday. And I remember the three of them constantly talking about their military careers. That's extremely important. I'm not military myself. I come from a military family. My dad served, and my sister, who passed away this past February, served. And there's something about makeup of people who have served our country. Can't quite put my finger on it, but it's just a willingness to serve. And that's something that's extremely important.
No, absolutely. It's something, you know, that I've said. When people would ask me years ago, you know, why did I get involved in politics? Because I had a, you know, a good job, made a very nice wage, and, you know, had a lot of other things going on in life, right, than to beat my head against the wall, you know, in Allegheny County, where the registration's almost 2-1, Democrat to Republican. But, you know, I had seen it was a Glenn Beck broadcast on television where he was talking about the Declaration of Independence, and the men that signed that, you know, pledged their, you know, fortune, their treasure, their sacred honor. Okay, and I thought if they can do that, I should be able to help and do something as well. And, you know, again, as I mentioned earlier in the broadcast, when we took that oath to defend our nation and defend the Constitution, there was no expiration date on that. You know, and that's why we're out there doing it today. And look, I can tell you, it's not because of the money, folks. You know, it's because you want to leave the community, the Commonwealth, or the country just a little bit better than you found it.
Right.
You know, for the next generation.
Exactly. I mean, keep in mind, I was a certified internal auditor with mm-hmm. the International Organization of Standardization.
Mm-hmm.
I could be doing pretty well in the private sector.
Yeah.
I was happy in a, I'm going to go back. I was happy in the private sector. I was very happy. But, well.
You were working for the state's largest private employer.
Yeah. And when I was first asked to consider running for Auditor General, the person who asked me just kind of sniggered at and said, no, I'm not doing that. And then so some other people came to me and I said, no, I'm not. I'm happy doing what I'm doing now. Mm-hmm. But then I thought about that commitment to serve. Thought about my unique experiences where I audited in the county level, state level, federal government, and in the private sector. And I really felt that I could make a difference. Felt that I could somehow improve government if given the opportunity. But I also felt that I could also give back to my community in a broader way, which is something I had always done throughout my entire career. And it's kind of funny. I'm trying to think what year it was. I think it had to have been 1990-something. I got a letter from then Auditor General Bob Casey Jr. Mm-hmm. thanking me for my community service work.
Wow.
So, yeah, so how about that? So, but, you know, I felt it was, again, it was that all around that commitment to serve. And I had to get over a few things. I had to get over myself. I had to get over the fact that, you know, I really didn't like politics. And I realized if I was really going to be able to help people, be an assist, to assist my community, my county, my state, then this was something that I had to do. And I'm glad that I did.
Well, we're glad that you did as well, Tim. We're glad that you're here today. It seems like, you know, fortune has placed you. You're in this position where you're serving the people of the Commonwealth of Pennsylvania, and we're the better for it. It's just a matter of, I guess, you know, here we are 3 days before an election. You talk about being tired. I mean, hey, listen, I have enough energy certainly to get through, you know, Tuesday, right? But hey, for folks listening here, let me just give you a little bit of information. If you have your mail-in ballot with you and you have not yet returned it, I would recommend not putting it in the mail. There are 10 locations throughout Allegheny County that you can go to and drop your ballot off. I would use one of those 10. Now, those 10 locations could be found by going to the Allegheny County website at www.alleghenycounty.us and then pick elections and then scroll down to ballot return sites. But you can do that. If you've applied for a mail-in ballot and not yet received it, you have the ability to go to the elections office on Monday or Tuesday, and you can tell them that you've never got your ballot, and they will reissue you one there that you can fill out complete and turn right back in. If you don't have the ability to do either of those, then you have the ability to go to the polls on election day, and you tell the judge of elections, they're going to tell you that you can't vote. You're on the list here. You voted by mail. You can say, I never got my ballot. I would like to vote provisional. Provisional ballots do count. They just get counted after the election day vote is counted, and we're able to make sure that no one submitted a ballot by mail. You can't vote twice, okay? But folks, so you have that option. I think it's important that people understand. We want everybody that wants to vote to be able to go out there and vote. I need every single Republican leaning independent, moderate Democrat to go to the polls on Tuesday and pull the lever for our candidates, the candidates of common sense. You know, folks, that's what it's about. The candidates who can tell you what a woman is, the candidates who believe that men shouldn't be competing in women's sports, the candidates who believe that our law in Pennsylvania is settled in regard to some things today, such as reproductive rights, okay? Candidates who believe in law and order, you know, candidates who believe in trying to take and give families the opportunity to be able to get an education, candidates who believe, like Tim DeFore did, you know, made these changes from a workforce development perspective to say, hey, you don't need a full 4-year degree to come to work here, right? To give them an opportunity.
And if you only have a 2-year degree, we're going to help you get your 4-year degree.
Yeah. Now, hey, Tim, as always, when I get started talking, we run out of time. But I want to give you 60 seconds to give your closing pitch to our listeners.
Closing pitch. Look, the bottom line is, and I said it earlier, educate yourself on who's running for office. Educate yourself on, you know, not only why they're running for office, but a pretty much a given on how they're going to do what they're going to do in office is what they've done in the past. So research the opponents. But also, I want to give a shout out to people working the polls and the people counting the mail-in ballots. When I was the Dauphin County Controller, I remember, you know, having to work with the elections people, and it is a painstaking task. And so I have a lot of respect, and I want to say thank you to those who are going to be working the polls on Election Day and who are going to be doing the county, hopefully sometime afterwards. But thank you.
Yeah, Tim, I would be remiss if I didn't thank, like you said, all the poll workers. We'll have over 6,600 here in Allegheny County. Want to thank them. Want to tell them how much we appreciate it. And folks, if you go vote, we win. Go vote, we'll win. And that's it for today. So folks, want to wish you have a great weekend, but go vote. You go vote. I feel good about the results on Tuesday night, and we'll talk more about that next week. Until then, this is Sam DeMarco signing off for the Elephant in the Room on WJAS 1320 AM and 99.1 FM Talk.